Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Neuland Laboratories Limited Q1 FY23 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in listen-only mode. There will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star and zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Diwakar Pingle from Ernst & Young. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Tanvi. Good evening, friends. We welcome you to the Q1 FY23 earnings call of Neuland Laboratories Limited. To take us through the results and to answer your questions, we have with us the top management from Neuland, represented by Sucheth Davuloli, Vice Chairman and CEO, Tarak Davuloli, Vice Chairman and Managing Director, Deepak Gupta, the CFO, and Sajeev Medikonda, the Head of Corporate Planning and Strategy. We'll start the call with a brief overview of the financials by Deepak, and then Tarak will give you a broad highlight of the business trends and what he's observing in the market. Post this, we'll open it to the Q&A session. You know, as usual, the standard safe harbor clause applies as we start the call. With that said, I now hand over the floor to Deepak. Over to you, Deepak.
Yeah. Thank you very much, Diwakar, and very good evening all friends, and very warm welcome to all of you for our Q1 FY23 earnings call. I think that you must have seen the presentation which Diwakar was just mentioning about, and it was put on our website right from now, which is uploaded both on BSE as well as on NSE websites. As always, any comments on the content of this presentation which we have sent will be highly appreciated, and we'll do our best to give our additional data points which will help you to analyze the data points much better. I'll briefly talk about the financials. The total income for this quarter is 221.7 crores as against the 202.9 crore in Q1 of FY22. While our performance has improved compared to the last year, we had expected to fare better. Our EBITDA for the quarter was rupees 29 crores with EBITDA margins of 13.1%. It was almost flat as we compared to the previous year, which was 13.6%. It has decreased by 220 points based on a sequential basis. I would like to give you some context on the flat EBITDA margins on year-on-year basis. We continue to experience increased cost structure across the whole value chain. For example, raw material costs, logistics, power and fuel costs, et cetera. Our external focus is more on execution excellence and also to optimize costs to ensure mitigation from our external events that we are facing. We have also witnessed high manpower costs and other costs arising mostly from Unit 3 commercialization that we did earlier. We continue to maintain high levels of inventory to avoid any future possible disruptions due to disruptions which are happening globally as of now. I would like to share that our focus on improving the business mix has also led to increase in the gross margins. Gross margin was 46.1% in Q1 of FY23 as compared to 41.5% in the last quarter, and also 42.4% on Q1 of FY22. Also, we expect this shift in portfolio to continue to drive higher gross margins. Profit after tax was at 9.8 crores as compared to 8.6 crores last year. This quarter EPS is at 7.7 rupees. In terms of cash and cash equivalents as on the date of the balance sheet, which is June end, it is at 18.1 crore. We continue to make investments in the future and also for the CapEx, we have spent around 50 crore in Q1 of FY23. Also if you talk about the CapEx plan, it is on track and with greater commercialization of products which is happening and also for the future commercial prospects, we expect that CMS segment will perform well and it will also help us to improve our future realization as well. I would like to mention that even though we have done substantial CapEx to date, our net gearing ratio continues to be low. As of now it is at 0.2 times. With that, I would like to hand over the call to Mr. Saharsh for his remarks, and thank you very much.
Thanks, Deepak. Good evening, everyone. Just like to add a few comments on top of what Deepak has already said, and then maybe we can open it up for Q&A. In terms of the prime business, we did have a very muted quarter. We've done well in products like levofloxacin, ciprofloxacin, levetiracetam, but I think the product which has been our largest in the prime segment, levetiracetam, which has been doing well for us historically, we've had challenges in this quarter. We believe that this is also because of limited customer offtake, possibly because of high inventories. We expect that volume should recover in the coming quarters based on what we've seen historically with a product like this. On the specialty side, we've recorded good growth, which is very encouraging. Products like Donepezil, Salmeterol, Apixaban, and Paliperidone have done well for us, and that is something we are excited about. These have also helped us, you know, maintain healthy gross margins. With regards to CMS, we've clocked around 69 crores, which is a growth of over 50% year-on-year basis. Here, I'd like to point out that our CMS pipeline is growing strongly with the number of molecules moving to commercial stage. We've seen traction across the clinical life cycle. We've also added 3 new projects in the early stages of the quarter. We've also seen an exclusive development product for a customer go commercial this quarter. The cumulative impact of these developments lead us to believe that they are a harbinger for higher and more stable CMS revenues in the future. In terms of the business we've already mentioned, we're working closely with a lot of biotech companies. Many of them are US-based. And our ability to complete challenging late-scale projects is what sets us apart and establishes us as a highly regarded CMO. As a result, we've been putting a lot of effort into accelerating the completion of our projects. And although we have been making steady progress over the past several months, we do continue to face delays in execution for a variety of reasons. Our customers do understand and comprehend the complexity of these projects, and they continue to be very supportive of us as we work towards scaling up these new chemical entities. I'd like to also say that Unit 3 is scaling up successfully. Some of our important late-stage CMS projects are also being ramped up over there, as we can see. As these products scale up, Unit 3's usage has also been rising up gradually. And consequently, as Deepak has also remarked, Unit 3 has also contributed to rising operational expenses. We also continue to see good traction with both GDS and CMS customers that could help us drive growth in medium to long term. The potential for the CMS project, especially in phase 3 for both development and commercial, which have been evident in the revenues this quarter, as well as for specialty GDS business, gives us the confidence that the long-term business prospects remain intact. And while the results of the quarter have not been encouraging, we expect to be back on track for growth this year. These are some of the comments that I wanted to share. Maybe we can now open it up for Q&A and Devakar, and then we'll be happy to answer more questions. Thanks.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Keshav from Raxan Investors. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening, sir. Sir, in our presentation, we mentioned about delays arising in CMS due to technical complexities. So can you shed some light on the same? What challenges we are facing over there? And has that led to any delays in delivery from our end?
Yes, thanks for the question. I think the complexities are quite varied. I think, as you know, the molecules we are scaling up are APIs in phase 3 going into commercialization. And typically, when we are scaling up these molecules, there are a lot of restrictions in terms of our ability to tweak the process. There are a lot of restrictions on what kind of analytical method can be used. There are a lot of restrictions on specifications. There are also restrictions on what kind of documentation is needed, what kind of data needs to be generated. So when we are scaling up these molecules, there are several restrictions that apply towards the scale-up, And obviously, the scale-up is also successful when you are able to achieve the yields and the costs that are targeted in the project. So sometimes when we are scaling up these kind of molecules, we are also referring to the original process that maybe the innovator may have developed. And sometimes there are minor variations that might come out between the process that we are scaling up versus what the innovator may have originally designed. So these result in certain challenges, either on the chemistry side or on the analytical side or on the engineering side. And those are things that sometimes require us to pause the project, go back to the lab, do some studies, and then come back and implement it. And sometimes they could add to delays. And in a project that is like a phase three API or any API that is going into validation, a typical project from start to finish takes a year. And these kind of challenges could potentially add several weeks to the delay. So these are just broadly some of the challenges we face in the API scale-up space, particularly from a CMS perspective.
But sir, there's no delay in delivery per se, right? Because they are pretty time-critical molecules.
Could you repeat that question?
We haven't faced any delays in delivery of the product, right? It's just at the lab end we are facing some complexities because for phase three, I reckon they'd be time-critical. They require it at a particular time.
So this will eventually lead to delay in delivery of the material also because when you are having to go back to the drawing board or you're having to go back to the lab, you are actually pausing the campaign in the plant. And once you fix it, then you go back to the plant. So typically, it will result in a delay in the campaign.
I think absolutely there will be a delay in the campaign. But at the same time, as you probably know, our customers' priorities, their programs, their projects are also undergoing change based on their priorities. So what we're ensuring that delays from our end are really not impacting the timelines of our customers, that we are able to make sure that we adjust ourselves to still keep the customer programs on schedule, and that is where we've been successful.
Okay, sure, sir. Got it. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Subramaniam K. from Alpha Invesco. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Good evening. Thanks for the opportunity. Sir, I wanted to understand about the CMS segment. Overall, we had more than 50% growth year-over-year for this particular quarter. And in the commercial segment, we had almost doubled. And in the development, we had almost a 30% increase in revenue. So can you break down how the growth will be in the each segment and what's the margin in the each segment?
So I think broadly your analysis as it reflects, the growth has come in the overall CMS business. It has come both from the baseline business as well as from the development business. I think the baseline business is driven by one of our key CMS molecules that has been doing well over the last year or two, and I think the volumes are continuing to increase. There are multiple products in the baseline, but the growth has been driven by one particular molecule. On the development side, there have been multiple molecules. As we've been mentioning in our comments over the past several quarters, there are several molecules where Neuland is actually going through phase three into commercialization. Some of these molecules are going through various phases. And whatever revenues we are recognizing in those projects, which are not yet commercial but are getting scaled up, those are categorized as development revenues. So it's not necessarily triggered by one molecule, but it is triggered by multiple molecules that are not yet commercial. And yeah, so that's kind of how we would analyze the numbers.
Okay, sir. Okay, thank you. So regarding the margin, so whether the margin differs in the commercial and development?
So I think every molecule has a different margin profile, various dynamics. But broadly speaking, development projects tend to have higher margins than commercial molecules. But there are always, different cases.
Okay, sir. Okay. Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Participants, if you wish to ask questions, please enter star and one. The next question is from the line of Amay from Haitong. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for taking my question. And I just have one question to the management. In the commercial side, we have added three new products, at least what is shown on the PPT. Is it possible for you to give a further color on these three new projects on the commercial side?
I think over the last 1 year, as you rightly pointed out, that we have added three projects more than from development to commercial. Of them, I think two are NCEs where we are part of the NDA, we are part of the filing, which one of which is in the antibacterial, antifungal segment, and the other is for a broader therapy area. And the third molecule is something where we did custom development for a customer who is now commercialized the product with their set of customers. So these are the three molecules which I can talk about without giving away more information in line with our agreement.
Just one follow-up. What are the approximate timeline for the monetization from the commercial side?
I think the way we measure the business, Amay, is when we start calling it commercial, it means that the molecule, we are ready, the validation is over and we are ready to start commercial supplies. But as you know, in many of these molecules, they have a life cycle, right? When in the early stages of commercialization, the volumes are typically low. After 1-2 years, maybe they start picking up. Years 3 to 5 is when they typically peak. That's the only information we can give because each of these molecules has a different profile and we really don't have specific molecule level clarity which we can share in terms of how they'll grow. But once they become commercial, the idea is that the volumes will start picking up.
So these are recently approved molecules or these are molecules which are already approved but we got the contract now?
So Sajid told you about three. Two of them are new chemical entities which have been recently approved. One is an older molecule for which Neuland has actually adapted technology and has scaled up. So two are new and one is old.
So at least that the older molecule, we should be able to get them sales up quickly, right? Because it is an old molecule already.
All three of them, we have an indication of how the volumes are likely to pan out. It's just that we would not go into product level explanation of how we expect the volumes to fare up.
Sure. Thank you so much for taking my question.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Pramesh, individual investor. Please go ahead.
Good evening. Can you hear me? Hello?
Yes, sir. We can hear you. Please proceed.
Yeah. I have a couple of questions. Number one is, you're saying that your CNS segment is growing. But if you see over the last 2 quarters, the CNS segment has not been growing at all. It has been coming down continuously. If you see the growth is compared to last quarter, same time, then it's probably mostly because of the base effect. We had this huge supply chain issue at that point of time. So how do I read as an investor in terms of how it's growing in the sense that because the GDS is not growing, the CNS as I see is not growing. So where is it, I mean, as an investor, where do I look for actually in terms of the growth? I mean, I understand CNS should be a growing segment, but it's not so actually. That's number one. Your debt movement are also, I mean, I would say, I don't know, I would not use the word erratic, but the net debt movement also is completely, like one quarter it goes up, the other quarter it goes down. So I'm not able to fathom this figure also in terms of the net debt movements it's 214 from March 20 and it has come down, and then again it has gone to 212 and then again come back to 160 now. I think I had asked you this question last quarter also, that why the debt has gone up. Now that debt has gone down also. So, and that's a net debt, obviously. I'm not talking about the debt per se. So I again, that's another question. And the last part is, how much depreciation of your third unit plant is still pending for to be incorporated as expense? So these are my three questions. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for your questions. I'll answer the first one and then ask Deepak to answer the second and the third. I think with regards to your observation about the CMS business, I think it's absolutely valid. I think the business has been volatile in many ways. Yes, with regards to Q1 of FY22, it is showing a 50% growth. But if you sequentially look at the last 4 or 5 quarters, it actually doesn't indicate a growth, not so consistently at least. I think the way I would look at it, or rather explain it, is our CMS business comprises of both a baseline business as well as a development business. Today, Newland is kind of in a phase where we are moving from development projects and we are moving our development projects into commercial projects. So as Sajeev had answered to the gentleman earlier also, we had talked about some molecules which have been commercialized in the last 1 year. They are molecules which are likely to be commercialized in the next 12 months as well. These molecules are not yet consistently on a quarter-on-quarter contributing to the baseline revenue of Newland. With regards to the development revenues are fairly volatile because depending on which quarter we execute a project, the revenues of that particular quarter go up or they don't go up. So we have been experiencing over the last 4 or 5 quarters a situation where we are converting development projects into commercial projects. Commercialization has happened. More importantly, we are also executing and continuing to execute more development projects. So from a progression point of view, we are seeing healthy progress in development projects. We are also seeing a good conversion of development projects into baseline projects, and we are also seeing revenues from that. If you look at it from an average quarter-to-quarter basis, it does show inconsistency. But the way I would look at our CMS business is look at it from a fairly long perspective. Look at it over a 15-quarter period. And if you look at it over a 15-20 quarter period, you would actually see that there is progression. And as I had also mentioned in the opening remarks, we are still in the early stages of our CMS business where commercialization is still not happened yet. And as and when more molecules get commercialized, that's when we will actually start seeing more consistent performance in terms of the revenue. So I think that's kind of how we would look at it. You know, if you look at it from a slightly broader horizon, like, you know, 3 to 4 years, you will be able to see growth. You will also be able to see from the disclosures we've made that the number of projects have been consistently increasing. You will also see that molecules have been consistently moving from development to commercialization. And we have been very consistent in what we have been sharing. I think at this point of time, that's the only information I think we can share. And I think our expectation is that this path will take us towards higher growth in CMS. So I think that's how I would look at it. And maybe I'll ask Deepak to answer the second question.
Yeah, with respect to the net debt, so yes, it has substantially come down from 212 crores to 160 crores. So this is because of better cash flow that we have generated in this quarter, mainly coming from higher realizations from the debtors, as well as we have received advances from the customer for certain CMS projects. So overall, we have repaid more than 45 to 50 crore debt back to the lenders. So this has helped us to improve the improve the leverage that we have taken, right? So that is with respect to the debt. And with respect to your second question about how much is the remaining unit 3 assets that needs to be depreciated. So as of June end, roughly around 225 crore of block needs to be depreciated over a period of time. Definitely, it's like spread across several years from now. So, still, Unit 3 is pretty new in our portfolio, and we'll see that investments happening in the last couple of years to build Unit 3. So, still 225 odd crores needs to be depreciated over a period of time.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much. That's the switch to the team.
Thank you. Participants, we request you to please enter star and one to ask questions. The next question is from the line of Keval Asher from DSP Investment Managers. Please go ahead.
Hello, am I audible?
Yes, sir, you're audible.
Yeah, thanks. So just a few questions. So first of all, you've mentioned that in FY22 NEA report that you'll be also focusing on GDS segment for the growth this year. But this quarter, we underperformed in GDS. So, sir, just wanted to understand, have you lost any customer or there were delays in the orders for us?
So, I think, Kevin, to answer your question, when it comes to the GDS business overall, it is more in terms of for certain customers for products. We see that they have issues in terms of their inventory, but we have not lost any customers. We see their interest in the products, like even as Sarish had mentioned during his opening comments, even though Levetiracetam didn't do well this quarter, but over a period of time, we see that there are orders and our customers need the product. I think with respect to this quarter, a product where we didn't do well, but we see that coming back. And over a period of time, we see that in GDS, the specialty products will also do well, and we are quite excited about the products which Sarsh had mentioned, which is Apixaban and Paliperidol, Palmitate, as well as Donepezil, which are doing very well, where we have seen customers do launches for novel forms. So I think overall, the GDS product business is expected to grow, but I think this quarter was a decline around 7%, but that was basically because of reasons which are more with respect to timing.
Okay, understood. The next question is that, if I heard it right, you mentioned that we did 50 crores of expenditure in quarter one. So what was this expenditure for? Second is the total expenditure we've done in Unit 3 till now. And the third is how much capex are we doing this year? And in coming years, how much capex year on year do we plan to do?
So in this quarter, we have done a capex investment of 15 crores. And Unit 3, out of this 15 crore, is roughly around 2 crores. That is your first question. And with respect to how much capex we'll do, so we'll stick to what we said earlier, like this year we'll be spending close to 70 to 80 crores in the capex investment for the full year. So out of that, 15 is already kind of taken care in this quarter.
Understood, sir. Understood. And another question is, sir, you mentioned, specifically mentioned that now we are in a growth trajectory and we plan to grow this year as well. So, sir, last year we had a base of 951 crores of top line in FY22. So, this year, if you can give any guidance for the growth in top line in FY23.
So, I think I think what we have said in the past and is over a period of time, I think we have targeted around 15%, maybe 15 to 20% of average growth over a period of time. I think we have also observed that over FY21 and FY22, we have actually stagnated. We have not grown at all. I think the comment I was making, I think, is really to indicate that the way things are shaping up and I think the way this year is and how the future is, I think that based on all these metrics on the CMS and GDS side, we expect to get back on track with regards to that growth path that we have been talking about. But I think having said that, as you know, we don't give guidance, so we've not really been in a position to give guidance either for FY23 or for the near term. But I think at least we feel that the period of stagnation that we went through we will break away from that, and we should, you know, get back on track for growth. I think that's kind of how we would clarify that.
Okay. Got it, sir. Got it. And the last question from my side is that, since, sir, you mentioned that 15% growth we target in medium term, so CMS, given the lower base compared to our other two segments as a percentage of revenue, so if we grow our overall revenue at 15%, at what rate do we expect CMS to grow in mid-term, sir?
Oh, I think CMS being the smaller business, I think it contributes to only about 30% of our overall revenue. I think its growth is expected to be at a higher rate, but we really would not be able to give you any kind of a breakdown. I think mathematically, you know, it will grow at a higher rate than what the average growth rate of the organization is going to be. But we don't want to give more color to it than that.
Okay, sir. Got it. I'll be back in the queue. Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Aditya Khemka from InCred PMS. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity. So Harsh, I understand the gross margins this year, obviously, or this quarter, obviously, you had a favorable mix. You had more contribution from CMS relatively versus GDS. But can you talk a little bit about your input costs, how they have behaved quarterly, let's say, 4Q 2022 versus 1Q 2023? Are you seeing some cool-off in the spot prices? How much inventory of high-priced raw material do you have? And when does the lower spot price raw material procurement translate to lower cost for you?
So Aditya, overall, I think it's no secret that our input prices across the industry have been impacted by this whole.
Sorry to interrupt, sir. Sir, your voice is not coming clear. Please come closer to the instrument.
Is this better?
Yes, sir.
Okay. All right. Now, just saying that it's no secret that because of this whole Russia-Ukraine conflict, there's been a lot of volatility, especially in the pricing, not so much on the supply of raw materials. On a net basis, we estimated that the impact for this year alone was almost to the amount of about 45 crores, taking the spot prices into consideration. Notwithstanding that, you know, we've taken a lot of corrective and preventative measures so that we can, you know, mitigate a lot of this impact by working with our customers, getting price increases wherever we can, and also taking aggressive steps inside to reduce our costs. So our goal is, and that's what we said today in the release to our results as well, that even though Q1 saw an impact of a significant impact from that pricing, in spite of a favorable product mix, for the entire year, we do expect our performance to be as per expectations. But those are roughly the contours of what's going on.
Right. Right. No, I get that. The only thing I wanted to understand was that if are you seeing any decline in the raw material prices at the spot market, or are the raw material prices still as elevated as they were, let's say, in 4Q?
See, as of now, it's been an even split, Aditya. We've seen softening of prices for certain solvents and certain raw materials, whereas for some of the other raw materials, it's actually gone up. However, for the whole year, compared to where we were at the beginning of the year, we still expect maybe a 20% to 25% softening of the prices.
Okay. And that's for all your raw materials as a basket, the 20% to 25% decline in prices?
That's correct.
Okay. And how much inventory of raw material do you normally maintain in your business across the three segments, which is specialty, prime, and CMS?
About 30 days. I think that's how much would that be, you know?
30 days. Okay.
30 days is what we maintain.
Okay. Understood. Now, coming to the prime API segment, right? So in the prime products, you obviously mentioned a few products which did very well for you, but at a basket level, the prime did not do well for us. So can you name a couple of products which did not do well? Because they must have done really bad for the overall segment to decline, despite some of your larger products doing well for you in the basket.
I think Harsh mentioned this in his opening narrative, but our biggest impact on the Prime segment was levetiracetam. Levetiracetam is also our largest product in the Prime segment, and that is what impacted our performance. We believe it's a combination of a reduction in demand as well as some inventory buildup at our customer end. However, when we examine the market for future requirements, we don't see any significant alarms. But as far as Q1 is concerned, the biggest impact was levetiracetam, followed by another product of ours called metazapine. But we do see the demand coming up.
I think levetiracetam has been our largest product over the last 3-4 years. And I think, even a 15% decline in volumes of levetiracetam actually has had an impact. So I think, frankly speaking, from GDS point of view, I think other than the hit in levetiracetam, which we believe and we hope is temporary, there's nothing else that causes concern for us at this point of time.
Sorry to harp on this, but I have a follow-up on this. So levetiracetam, the hit will be temporary only if it's driven by an inventory buildup at your customer level where he's sort of rationalizing his inventory. But if it's driven by competitors getting more aggressive or lower pricing and competitors gaining market share from you, then it may not reverse. My concern on levetiracetam is that DVs in their remarks historically have said that in this particular molecule, they have backward integrated a lot, they've increased their volume production. So you see my concern there, right? So which is why I'm sort of trying to get more sense from you as to whether levetiracetam volumes will ever bounce back or what are we perceiving as inventory correction is actually a shift in market share from us to our competitors.
Aditya, we think that, your concern is very similar to our concern as well. So our response is stemming from two factors, and this doesn't take away from your observation. One is when we saw a decline in volume for levetiracetam, we got in touch with all our customers, we pulled the data from the market, we analyzed the market share of all the companies out there, we mapped it to the customers that are buying from us and customers that are buying from our competition, we looked at the export data, and we also got feedback from our customers whether they have any accumulated inventory or have they lost market share. So our response is also stemming from a fairly detailed analysis from our end as to what's going on from the product, and that's where the primary response is coming from. Notwithstanding that, your observation is absolutely right. Levetiracetam is an extremely competitive API because just of the sheer size of this API. Levetiracetam approximately is a 3,000-ton API globally, and the bad part is that it's highly competitive. The good part is also that, there's enough market out there for strong players such as Newland, DeVries, and a couple of others to gain market share as well. So coming back to your point, there may be a decline in market share due to the buildup of inventory, loss of market share. But our strategy over the medium and long term is to continue growing this product the way we've done for all of our products. So whether you look at Sotalol, you look at Mirtazapine, look at Ciprofloxacin, Levofloxacin, pretty much other APIs, they've all consistently grown in volumes. There have been years that we took a beating in terms of market share and volume. But, we have taken a pause, reassessed, and done whatever it took to gain back the market share. We do the same for levetiracetam. Therefore, I think your observation is absolutely right. We will see, or we could see, a temporary setback in this molecule, but we will continue to gain market share over the long run.
And just to add to what Suchet said, I think it's a very dynamic market, right? So it's not like we are waiting for the levetiracetam business to unfold. We are also qualifying new customers. We are getting qualified by new customers as well. So some of these large formulation players who are very strong traditionally in levetiracetam finished dosage, they have also been adding Newland as an API source over the last 3 months, 6 months, 12 months. So it's a very dynamic market. So it's not like, we've made our bets and now we're waiting for the cards to open. I think we keep getting qualified with new customers and we keep working on the process as well. And it's a very large market. No one, I believe, has more than 10% market share in the LevelCustom business because it's a 3,000 ton API. And even the largest players don't make more than 400-500 tons. So I think it's a big market. It's just important to be connected to the customers, be constantly looking at your process and be competitive. And I think we do believe that, you know, we will bounce back, but we'll have to wait and see.
No, this is extremely helpful. Thank you so much for the color that you guys provided. Coming to the CMS business, right? So if you, I see an expansion in the pipeline, at least in the development projectal, development projects and your commercialized molecules. Can you divide your development projects into big pharma and mid and small pharma, you know, in terms of your clients? What would the split be? I mean, I know you can't give me an exact number, but some sense, is it like 70% big or 70% small pharma, biotech, etc.?
So I think we probably mentioned this in different contexts in our commentary out there, but almost all of our business in CMS comes from small or small pharma companies or what we call as biotech companies, so biopharmaceutical companies. So I think if we have to categorize our top three segments within CMS, it would be US-based biotech companies, it would be European mid-size innovator companies, and then it would be Japanese innovator companies, which include Japanese big pharma. So there are very few projects in our portfolio which belong to big pharma. So I think that's I think that should give you enough color on what our pipeline is. So most of the molecules we are referring to belong to, you know, biotech companies. These are, you know, NASDAQ listed, you know, $1 billion, $2 billion market cap companies with one or two products. That's the kind of portfolio of customers we work with.
Right. And while your number of projects have gone up, has the number of clients also gone up over the past 1 year in the development and commercial side?
Yeah, so we saw a lull for the first half of the pandemic where we were not really able to add a lot of projects. But I think over the last 6 months, we've added, you know, some interesting products, you know, phase two, phase three molecules from innovative companies. It's also been facilitated by their visits to our facilities and things like that. So I think things are coming back into normal, and in fact, we are also spending more or at least investing more in business development now. So we are adding more resources in business development, spending more on B2B marketing and things like that. So I think we expect the pipeline to strengthen now. It has already started in the last 6 months, but I think it will continue.
Right. And last question on your Unit 3. So I heard pre-operating expenses were 225 crores yet to be depreciated. Is that what I heard?
Yes, that's right.
So 225 crores of pre-operating expenses, not fixed asset purchase to be depreciated. This is just...
Not pre-operative. These are the... this is the capex spend which we have done, which is yet to be depreciated. So WDV of the assets which are there in the Unit 3.
Got it. And in terms of operating expenses, what would Unit 3 be incurring annually right now?
So, roughly around, as of last year, if I see, roughly around 60 crores of operating expenses. From Unit 3.
60 crores, yeah, so roughly 30%. And then, is Unit 3 at its current utilization breaking even for you, standalone as a facility?
It will break even in the current year.
Not yet.
So you expect it to break even in FY23, is that what I heard?
That's correct.
Yeah. Because everything that's being scaled up is getting scaled up in Unit 3. So.
Okay. So all your incremental volumes are essentially coming to Unit 3. That's how it will break even. Got it. So this is extremely helpful. Thank you for being so patient with me. Thanks for your answers.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of P. Suresh from Barams Financial. Please go ahead.
Good evening. Here's the opportunity. Hello.
Yes, sir. We can hear you. Yes. Please go ahead.
Good evening, this opportunity. Sir, CMS business this financial year, how much standalone, how much revenue expected? Hello?
So, Suresh, we typically don't give any guidance on what we expect to do for the year.
Standalone on the CMS business.
Yeah, so even for standalone CMS or for the overall business, we do not provide guidance on how much we expect to do.
We can give a comment in quarterly results presentation. The lineup the full year is going to reach the my target. Last year sales is an expected same sales will continue. So we will give the good numbers in this financial.
Yes. Yeah, so what we said, Suresh, is FY21 and FY22 we did not have growth, but in FY23 we expect to have growth. So we should expect growth in FY23.
Fully at 23 can expect it.
Yes.
Profit margin any increase the OPM profit margin in this year in increase the percentage of around 20%.
Yeah, see again we will not give guidance on that, but I think the one comment we will make is that as you can see, because of the improvement of the business mix, the gross margins are improving. Despite raw material challenges, our gross margins are improving. However, the EBITDA margin or the PBT has not improved in Q1 because the overall revenues have still not been at a critical threshold. And what we believe is that if we are able to bring back the growth, which we do believe will happen in FY23, then the operating leverage should ensure that we will have much better profit margins than what we are currently seeing, both at an EBITDA level and as a PBT level, because what operating expenses we have incurred in Q1, they are likely to be more or less similar for Q2, Q3, Q4. But if the revenues are going to grow, then the margins are likely to improve. So that is how I would explain it, but we will not be able to guide on what is the margin going to be.
Sir, any future fundraising plans or acquisitions, and this facility is enough for your future plans? Fundraising or any acquisitions or mergers? Any planning?
No plans as of now, Suresh. Thanks.
This facility is enough. You are growing business.
Next couple of years. Yeah, this for the next 2 years, it should be more than adequate. For the next 2 years, it should be more than adequate. Sorry, Suresh, your voice is not coming clearly, so we're trying our best to understand and answer those questions.
This facility is enough for your growing business, this facility. Present facility is...
It will be adequate for the next couple of years. It also depends on what kind of growth we are going to achieve. If we are going to achieve growth that is going to be more faster than anticipated, then we may have to create more capacity. But Unit 3 has a lot of capacity, headroom for additional capacity creation. So we don't expect any challenges for the next 2 years at least.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Aditya Khemka from Incred PMS. Please go ahead.
Yeah, sorry, I had just one more question. The employee expense growth that I noticed sequentially, fourth quarter versus the first, an incremental 3-odd crores in expenses. So just wanted to understand, is this additional manpower or is it incremental plus bonus payouts this quarter?
So actually, it's a mix of both. So mostly coming from the performance pay that we have given to the employees. And also we have added a few headcounts in this quarter, but those are very small in number actually. Mainly coming from merit increase and very bit of headcount increase.
Were there bonus payouts also this quarter?
So bonus payout we apportion over a 12-month period. So irrespective of the payment, we make a charge to the P&L on a monthly and a quarterly basis. So that won't impact the performance.
So this is going to be like the normalized run rate. There is no lumpiness in this expense, therefore.
Correct.
Understood. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll take the next question as the last question from the line of Keval Asher from DSP Investment Managers. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the follow-up. So just one question, sir. So how big is the size of opportunity for us in Billasty?
So I think typically for the CMS molecules, Keval, we don't, by the contract we have with our customers, we are not allowed to disclose the names or discuss the specifics of the molecule. So we will not be able to comment on any molecule, its growth prospects or anything about it, specifically in the CMS side because of the confidentiality agreements we have with the customer.
Okay, got it. Thanks.
Thank you. I now hand the conference over to management for closing comments.
We'd like to thank everyone for joining us on this call and for your interest in Neuland, for the questions that you asked regarding performance and also regarding the potential of our business. I think we thank you once again for your participation in today's call. Thank you.
Thank you very much. On behalf of Neuland Laboratories, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us and you may now disconnect your lines.